Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
27 minutes past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got a lot of phone calls to get to, see some lines filling up. A lot of people want to talk about a lot of stuff that's going on. World Baseball Classic, NCAA Tournament, the brackets. Of course, some NBA and the Jets, New York Jets, and the National Football League are finalizing a trade that will send quarterback Justin Fields to the Kansas City Chiefs. So all of that stuff is stuff that's worth getting into, no doubt about it. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. But before any of that, it's my honor and privilege to have my guest on the show, former coach at Virginia Tech, noted ESPN college basketball analyst for many years, my colleague, my buddy, one of the best in the business, the one and only Seth Greenberg, is on the line with us right now. What's going on, big time? How you doing, coach? How's everything?
Stephen A, I mean, this is a good day. I get a double dose of Stephen A. I mean, life is good. I mean, some people dream about this kind of stuff.
I hear you loud and clear. Listen, man, you and I had a difference of opinion in terms of Duke and the road that Duke has to go through in the East region. My mentality was, I know it's a bit rough. Seemed like Arizona got a better ride through the NCAA tournament than in terms of the brackets than Duke did, considering the fact that Duke is the number one overall seed. But I thought St. John's had it rough, and I thought St. John's was more screwed over than Duke. What are your thoughts about this NCAA bracket, this East region, sir?
I can see, look, here's my situation with St. John's. I understand St. John's probably shouldn't have been a five if Connecticut was a two, because they beat him two out of three times. Now, Connecticut's a two because of their non-conference strength of schedule and the wins they had. Their only loss was to Arizona, who's a one. In the end, and maybe I look at the Duke thing just more in terms of the optics. I mean, when you got St. John's and Rick Pitino, when you have UConn and Danny Hurley, when you have Tom Izzo and Michigan State, when you have Bill Self and Kansas, the name brands that we're seeing in that bracket are pretty legendary. They're pretty legendary. So I understand what you're saying. Like, to advance in the NCAA tournament, you know what I know. You got to beat good teams. And no matter what their name is, you're going to play in the second round. You're going to play a pretty good team. If you don't play well, you're going to get beat. So, but I can understand that, you know, I was interested because Rick said in his interview yesterday after the game, he was comfortable with where they were. Of course, I said, as we all know, Rick's expecting to win the first two games and get back to the East. So, I mean, that's just his mindset. That's why he's Rick Pitino. But is there a big difference between the five and the four? Yeah, a little bit, because, you know, you're dealing with Duke, but you're also dealing with an undermanned Duke team. And I think we've got to take that in consideration. Even though they won the ACC tournament, their backup point guard is Cam Boozer, because they don't have a backup point guard since Caleb Foster's went out. So a lot is on the plate of Caden Boozer, who just started playing starters minutes. And then their backup point guard is their 6'9 power forward. So I actually don't think it's a bad deal, except that the second game that they're going to have to play, St. John's got to play the biggest X factor in the tournament. And you know who I'm talking about, Darren Peterson. He's the biggest X factor in the tournament.
All right, and explain that. Why do you find Darren Peterson to be the biggest X factor in the tournament, the freshman sensation for Kansas, who's missed damn near as many games as he's played?
Because his potential and his potential impact on the game probably has a greater impact on the game than almost anyone besides than Darius Akoff. I mean, when that first half against BYU, that was a show. I mean, it was A.J. DiBonta and Darren Peterson. DiBonta was guarding him, and he lit him up for 18 in the first half, and he scored it every which way. In transition, floaters, left hand, dropping dimes, middle game. I mean, it was unbelievable. What I haven't seen that guy since. So I call him an X factor because I watched him in the Big 12 tournament. And I was underwhelmed. I was underwhelmed with their team. I thought that he's played a couple games. He's getting 30 minutes a game. He's going to fit in. He's going to figure out where his shots are coming from. There's going to be great energy. There's going to be great passion. There's going to be great joy. You're going to see his teammates interact with him and being a collective responsibility. And I saw nothing. There was no energy. There was no passion. He was running to the corner. He wasn't cutting hard. He wasn't demanding the ball. When he got it, he didn't put pressure on the defense. It was underwhelming. Yet I know that Bill Self, and you said it today on the show, like Bill Self's, he's a Hall of Fame coach. Like Bill not being able to get this guy where he needs to get him, and Bill being kind of, whether he says it or not, because he's the greatest politician in the world, Bill Self. But he said, you could see right. his body language. You said it to me. You saw his body language, the kid's body language, and Bill's body language. Have you ever seen Bill like that?
Never. Yeah. He's flustered because I don't think he's ever experienced anybody like Darren Peterson, because I think there's legitimate questions as to how available he's willing to be. That's just my personal opinion, but yeah. I don't know the kid and I don't want to cast any aspersions. Yeah. But damn, we're watching him and watching him perform and we're seeing it with our own two eyes. So we at least got to ask. Stay on this subject for me for a second before I get down to breaking down the teams in the bracket. How do you compare? I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about game. I'm talking about the whole picture. How do you compare a Darren Peterson to somebody like an Acuff Jr. and somebody like a DeBonza?
Or Caleb Wilson, who has incredible energy and passion, reminds me of Kevin Garnett. Darius Acuff, I've been around them a lot. I go when I work Cal's fantasy camp and here, good friends. So I go over, watch them practice a bunch. Darius Acuff's growth from the time he stepped on campus to where he is today is phenomenal. It's like the anti what I've seen from Peterson. He's welcoming. He's energetic. He's incredible with his teammates. They love him. Obviously he's dropping dimes and handing them like wide open shots, but there's a great synergy about him. And that's the thing. And I know the synergy is kind of a bougie word or whatever you want to call it, but I didn't see any synergy with Kansas with Darren Peterson. And that's, like to me, you know, the NBA better than I do. I mean, I know basketball. I don't live the NBA like you do. 82 games, 9 months. If you don't have synergy with the dude you're playing with, that's a bad locker room. And I'm sure he's not a bad kid, but I don't know if he's a guy that you make a play and you're running up to him and you get me chest bumping or something. I don't think that's who he is. And I think you need more energy and more joy in playing, especially as talented as he is.
Tell me what you see in DeBonza.
DeBonza's a dude. DeBonza loves ball. You'd have to like take him off the court. It'd probably take three or four people. That guy just likes ball. It's Tracy McGrady. It's downhill. It's attacking. It's unbelievable teammate. You remember the Clemson game at the Jimmy V? He deferred the whole first half. He deferred. So I asked Coach Young, I said, the next day, I said, like, why? He goes, he's very self-conscious of getting other guys involved early. He knows when to go and take the game over. Like, how thoughtful is that? Like I said to Coach, hey, Coach, that sounds really good to me. But my best players, they got all the shots. But at the end of the season, that's what he's had to do. He's averaging like 30-something a game, since Richie Songes has gone out, and the way he's playing and the force he's playing and the joy he's playing with. He just loves to be out there. He loves to compete. The physicality that he plays with. I mean, he's fun to watch. You can't take your eyes off him. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
We're talking to Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst extraordinaire for ESPN, right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Who's Duke's toughest competition in the East region? Because we got these great coaches that they're going against. You got UConn, you got St. John's, you got Bill Self and Kansas, you got Michigan State with Izzo. I mean, when we think about Duke and what they've got to go up against in the East region, who's their stiffest competition in your estimation, potentially?
It's either Michigan State because of their physicality, but I would actually think it's St. John's because of style of play. I mean, like St. John's, they can impose their style of play. And Dylan Mitchell can guard anyone, by the way. He reminds me of Scottie Pippen defensively in his length and his activity. The way they can play the matchup zone, they can extend in pressure. They're kind of positionless offensively. And they got the big fella. I mean, Zuby, like the player he's turned into, the player that he left And this is the conspiracy thing. St. John's, Kansas. He was at Kansas. Zuby played against Kansas maybe before they get to Duke. He just impacts the game. And like he was a blue collar, rebounding, screening, rolling dude. Now he's driving closeouts. He's playing in a high post. Rick lets him shoot some threes. And his leadership. So, like, you got a great leader in Boozer. You got an unbelievable leader in Zuby. And then you got Dylan Mitchell, his athleticism. And you got Sellers, who can make some shots. And you got enough athleticism and versatility around him. I think it would be St. John's.
I feel like I'm going to go to the West region because here's where I'm at. I feel sorry for Arkansas. They won the SEC tournament. Acuff put on a show, obviously averaging 30 on 50% shooting from three-point range and 7.7 assists. We know they've got some other dogs with them. Calipari can recruit, right? They're going to run into Arizona in all likelihood, by the Sweet 16 or whatever. And that's where, right before. And that's where it all ends to me because I think Arizona is the best team in the nation, arguably. What do you say to that, Coach?
Arizona is tough. I mean, Jaden Bradley, what an incredible leader. You just watch him. Those clutch shots that he made, we were sitting right on the baseline. They were made right now. He's going to go right. Like that dude, I can tell you, I watched that guy for 20 minutes. I watched him in warmups. He's going to get back to his right hand now. Makes no difference. He's going to get to his right hand, and he's going to score. The shots he made at the end of that game against Iowa State, absolutely incredible. He leads the country in clutch points and clutch percentage. The biggest thing, matchups make fights and styles make fights. And like Arizona pounds you in the paint. They pound you on the glass. They beat you in transition and they drive it to the front of the rim. What's the thing that Arkansas struggles with? They struggle with cutting people out off the glass. They struggle with guarding post-ups. They'll probably struggle with the physicality of Cole Pete. They struggle with the size of Crevis. So, that's a problem. I think Arkansas's got a tough game with Wisconsin. Nolan Winters is coming back. They beat Michigan. They can make 15 threes in a New York minute. I mean, that team that's can true. Flat out shoot. You got Boyd. You got Blackwell. I mean, those are two big-time scorers, and Winters is – I mean, they got their bigs. They invert their offense, so they bring their bigs away from the basket, and they can post up those guards. And those bigs, Rapp and Winter, and I mean, they just shoot the cover off the ball. So, yeah, right. they got a really tough second game, really tough.
Coach Seth Greenberg right here with Stephen A. on SiriusXM. I got BYU beating Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 and going to the Elite Eight versus Arizona. Can DeBonza pull that off? Can he pull that off, at least getting them that far?
You know what? This is not your father's Gonzaga team. They're not a jump, shoot, spread you out team. They're a very good defensive team with really good length. They don't shoot the ball very well. They're easier to guard. And the bounce is but they are disruptive defensive. But I'm sure they have anyone who can defend it with it. The thing is, it's the DeBonza and it's Rob Wright. Rob Wright is really, really good. If Kennard Davis can make shots to complement those two guys, because you're going to get you. One thing about it, like, here's the deal. Stephen, I know you were jump through. I saw you jump, bro. I broke it down. All right. If you played with the bouncer and you played with Rob Wright, you just be like an NBA small forward. You just stick in the corner and just wait for it to get kicked out to you and you just shoot threes. Because they have some guys that can shoot the ball consistently with Wright and the bouncer. You're going to get open shots. They have not consistently shot it. They haven't defended consistently, but he can, if his mindset from right to get-go, I mean, like right to get-go, the first time we're coming down the floor, I'm giving the ball to the bouncer in the middle third of the floor. I'm putting Rob Wright on the wing. Second possession, Rob Wright sending a ball screen for the bouncer, so you got a small and big screen, and you're exploiting a switch or a matchup, and you got, you got Kata on the – yeah, they look, he can go off at any moment and drop 40, and Wright can go off at any moment and drop 25. Those two guys are that good.
I don't trust Michigan. They're the number one seed in the Midwest. I just don't trust them. I think that they've been too erratic. I know they've got some size and what have you. I know Lyndon Borg is no joke. I get that part. I know they've overwhelmed a lot of teams with their big, because they got one of the biggest lineups in America. I get that part. I'm just not sold on them right now. You know, they've got a couple of big guards. I get it. But I just don't trust Michigan. They just seem to be too erratic when it counts most. That's how I feel about it. Dusty May's a good coach. I have no doubt about that. But I'm just not sold on them, Coach. What about you?
It all comes down to if Elliot Cadeau can manage the game for 40 minutes. They don't have a backup point guard. LJ Cason went out with an injury, so they don't have a backup point guard, which makes like Yaxel a backup point guard in a lot of ways, or Roddy Gale, or they've got some different guys that they could put in that spot. Namari Burnett. But that's a little bit concerned. But tell you one thing, Yaxel, that three he made the other night against Wisconsin, that was a big-time three. And Maurice Johnson carves out space. And Mara inverts because he can step out. He's a great passer, and they can throw big physical bodies defensively. Now, I love the way Purdue played him, which is exactly the same way Michigan State played him. They built a wall around that three-point line. And you talk about if you can do this, build a wall around it and be as physical as you can on all those ball screens, all those dribble handoffs, be gap-centric, then close out on the catch. I mean, there's a game plan to play against Michigan. I can tell you that. Izzo, the second time they played, he kind of created it, and Matt Painter used it to get a win against them in the championship. There's definitely a game plan. Make it a half-court game. Limit possessions. Be physical as you can be without fouling, and just build a wall around that three-point line so that your help is always in position. I call it one-way help, where your help's in position, so they just got to close back out. If he kicks it out, if one of those guys kicks it out. So, yeah, I think there's a formula, but it's hard to do because of their size and the way they get extra possessions on the glass and just the number of different guys that they can go to get a bucket late game.
Coach, just a couple of questions before I let you get on out of here, my man. I appreciate your time. In the South region, a lot of people been bragging about Florida. I saw them losing the SEC tournament. I ain't sold on them. I saw what Vanderbilt did to them. I'm sold on Houston. That's where I'm at with it, Coach. I think Houston's got a bunch of dogs. They got a bunch of Rough Riders. I know they lost, in the championship, in the conference championship game, but I still believe in Houston, and I've got them going to the Final Four. What about you?
I haven't gone to the Final Four also. And I was on the Florida train. I mean, I was the captain. I was tooting the horn. I was doing the whole thing because they won 12 in a row, and the way they won the 12 in a row. And then I was there at the Arkansas game where it was an embarrassment in terms of just how well they played. Having said that, the last two games, and you never know what's going on with the team. You know, Todd Golden's got a lot of swag. He's really, really good. He's a great communicator with his team. He's a brilliant coach. Those last two games, they turned it over 16 and 18 times. The last two games, they were like 7 for 44 from the three-point line. You have one of those nights, and you know it is. You have one of those nights in the NCAA tournament, and like you said, Houston is a bunch of dogs. They are dogs. And they can get up and underneath Boogie Flynn, get up and underneath Xavier Lee. That could be a problem for sure. As good as the front court is, because the front court is how Chinyelu. Right. Chinyelu is like Pac-Man. He just gobbles up rebounds. Ball gets shot, and just give me that. Just get out of my way. Condon and Hauk are terrific, but I was shocked at how listless they were. Almost like a little too cool for themselves. And Vanderbilt, who beat them,
right?
I mean, they got after those guards. So, like, can you get after the guards? You can.
Coach, you see my Final Four: Duke, Houston, Arizona, and Iowa State. How does yours differ from mine?
I got Michigan State, Arizona, and who was my fourth here? I should know that by now, as many times as I said it today.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Yes, you should, but it's okay.
It's Michigan State, Arizona, and who's Houston. What am I saying? We're just
Duke.
Talking about Houston, yeah.
And Duke. So, all right, so you got Michigan and Michigan State going to the Final Four.
Michigan State, Arizona, and Houston.
I can't go with Michigan. I just can't. But maybe I'm wrong. Coach, before I let you get on out of here, Miami of Ohio, we debated that subject.
Yes.
And, you know, they went undefeated in the regular season. They lost in their conference tournament. They got an at-large bid, you know, last four in. I don't care about all that as long as they're in. I'm like, you're 68 teams. You got to be one of the teams in if you go undefeated for your regular season. Your thoughts about them getting in, sir, so everybody knows where you stand.
100%. I totally agree with you. I think they had to be in, and I think they need to play in the first four games. And then they're going to play against the team at SMU who can really score. It goes up and down. BJ was supposed to be back. I don't know if Miami can win that game. I don't know if they can defend a spread offense with Boopy Miller, who's like really good. Really good. Jaron Pierre is really good and can score. They got Biggs, Niagatulu. But they'll spread that thing out, Miami. And the Sutter kid is a high major player. And Brett Byers is a big time 3-point shooter at the four spot. They're going to have five guys that can knock down threes all over the floor. So I expect SMU to win that game, but I think they're exactly where they need to be. They need to be in the playing game or first four, whatever you want to call it. And Akron needs to be in the field because they won their conference tournament.
And they got to be careful because if they go and stink up the joint, if they went 30-0 and then losing the conference tournament and they go stink up the joint and it's one of these first four ends and they lose to SMU, I mean, it's going to hurt at-large teams in the future from warranting consideration. This is the kind of 100%. Stuff that could happen to them. Coach Seth Greenberg, appreciate you, my man. Thank you so much, man. Always appreciate you,
pal.
Man.
Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. All right, you too. The one and only Seth Greenberg right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls in a minute to close out number one, hour number one. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.